what we're doing in chapter 3, what I'm going to try and do is, I'll first of all, quickly give us a summary of what chapter 3 is all about. In chapter 3, we know Samuel has gone to Eli now. And now being in Eli's house, God called him because he doesn't even know who God is, or he's never had a relationship, so he doesn't even know it was God that was calling him. So God called him 3 times, and he thought it was Eli. And later, Eli made him to realize that it was God that was calling, that when he calls again, just tell him that your servant hears. And after that, God showed him a vision, which Samuel, when he woke up, was trying to hide from Eli, but Eli said he should tell him everything, which Samuel did, what God's about to do. And Eli responded, Samuel. That's what chapter 3 is all about. But where I'm going to start from tonight is, you know, when we look at the first two chapters, Anna is a kind of, is a normal person like us, right? But there's one thing that she did. Because Anna knew God and she believed in that God, that was why she prayed to God in the first instance that God should hear her prayer and give her a child. And she said something that if God should give her that child, she's going to give him back to the Lord. And God had her. And when you look at that, Anna is not a prophetess. She's not a priest or she's not anything. But because she believed in God and she cried out to him, God had her and gave her what she wanted. But there's something that Anna did after she had Samuel, after she weaned him. She took Samuel to the church to hand him over to Eli the priest. When you look at it, that's the only child she has at that moment. She doesn't have anyone. But the fact that she even had Samuel was enough for her. So nobody's going to call her barren again. They'll call her a mother of a son. And she decided to give that only child she had to the Lord. Going to Eli is not Eli that is handing over Samuel to. He's handing Samuel over to God. And we could see what God did in return. Anna ended up being mother of many children. And that one was for Anna. But now let us look at Samuel that Anna has handed over to the Lord. You know, Samuel was in the midst of other children. Because we know Eli had 2 children, Ophni and Phinehas. And we know what their life is all about. So if at all anybody would have, you know, anybody would have thought that if Eli could not handle his own children properly, how is he going to look after Samuel and do the right thing? Because if he could not do it to his own blood children, then he won't be able to do it with anybody that's not even of his. But you know, because our God is God of wonders. In the book of Jeremiah, the Bible said something, Jeremiah 1:4-5, that from your mother, told Jeremiah that from when he was in his mother's womb, he formed him and he ordained him. So for me, I believe that Samuel has been ordained even before he even came forth. God already knew what he was going to use him to, for. That is why even when he was with Eli, despite the fact that Eli's children were living wayward life, Samuel was never the same with them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we'll say that now that Samuel is with Eli, God now decided to use him, like I said. God left Eli. But someone must have led to it for God to leave Eli and be speaking to Samuel. Knowing fully well that we know definitely that as at that time, Eli was the judge and also the high priest in Israel. So how could God have left him and go to Samuel? But because of what has been going on, something has been going on with the children, and God felt that Eli is not doing what he's supposed to do. He's not selling the children off. He's not putting them into order. He's not correcting them. He's not disciplining them the way he would have wanted him to do. So as a result, God decided to bypass him and start speaking to Samuel. Samuel was only a young son, a young boy, when God starts speaking to him. And that is telling us that no matter how young you think you are, if you live your life and fashion it after the pattern that God wants, he will use you as well. He will use you to do mighty things and to do wonders. Regardless of whoever that is surrounding you, as long as you fashion your life in the pattern that he wanted and you live your life for him, I'm telling you, God will use you like the way he used Samuel. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we could say that when after Samuel, you know, had conversation, and you know that time, the Bible made us to believe that, you know, face-to-face talk, you know, after the time of Moses and Joshua, it took a while for people to start hearing from God again, not until this one that I had with Samuel. And when you look at what the Bible recorded, the first three times that God called Samuel, the Bible said, God called Samuel, who answered Samuel. But the last time when God now speaks to him, he actually came. The Bible recorded that God came and speak with Samuel. But coming and speaking with Samuel, everything is all in a vision. It's all like a vision, you know? And today, we know God still speaks to people through vision, some in trance, some through the word of God, dreams in so many ways. God still speaks to his children today. One thing that is common and which is God always does, as long as you are a faithful follower of God, then you don't have a problem. You don't have a problem. But for people that is one leg in, one leg out, that is when you may have a problem from hearing from God. But when we look through the book of chapter 3, basically is trying to tell us that regardless of who we are, as long as we have been ordained and we live our life faithfully, God can use us and start speaking through us to do mighty things. Praise the Lord. And after Samuel had a vision, we could see that, you know, he doesn't know how to relate it to Eli, knowing fully well the weight and the gravity of the vision. But Eli, being the high priest and being the person he is, I'm sure that he has perceived in the spirit that God has said something to Samuel, which he inquired from Samuel that Samuel should let him know. I would say he tried to threaten him by saying that the Lord will do to him if he decides to hide anything from him and, you know, all those kind of things. But you know what? The part that really caught my attention is after Samuel related everything to him, all Eli could say is, it is God, that it is the Lord. Let him do whatever seems good to him.
Yes.
You know, I kept on looking like, yes, you know, it's God. He can do anything he wants. But at that point in time, I would have expected, maybe he would have said, maybe he would go into his closet and start pleading with God that, God, yeah, I know I've made mistake. I know I've not done it the way you want me to do. I know I've not, but have mercy. Temper justice with mercy. Honestly, I'm sure that God will have maybe do something. Yes, God may still carry out his judgments, but he may probably have not been part of the judgment because God said both him and his children are going to die on the same day. That three of them are going to die on the same day. Maybe if he had pleaded. And you know, that's one thing I like about King David. No matter what, David will go back to God and, you know, he will start begging. I know I've sinned. That is what Psalm 51 is all about. You know, he will acknowledge his sin, that he knew that he has made mistake. But all he's asking for is the mercy of God. But in the case of Eli, no, nothing like that. I said, it's God. Let him do whatever seems good to him. That means he realized what he was doing all along. He chose not to do it because I don't understand. But that we may, at least we're going to discuss about that later. But that's one of the things that we may have to dig deep tonight. Why he had to behave that way and say, it is God. Let him do whatever seems good to him. But one thing in this section is, we could see that Eli was very good with the spiritual work that God has committed into his hands. But he was so busy doing that he failed in the area of being a parent, of being a father. He did not train up those children in the way that God would have wanted him to. Because when those children started misbehaving, he should have called them to order. Maybe you will have asked, okay, if you can't do the right thing, sorry, you cannot act in the house of God any longer. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Should have called them to order, at least give them some kind of punishment. But the Bible did not record that Eli did anything like that. And I guess that was why God was so angry with him. That despite what everybody is telling you about these children, still you still allow them to continue this their wayward life. So I just want to encourage us, you know, as parents, we are all ministers of God. We all minister in one way or the other. We are all children of God. Don't let our spiritual life take so much of our time that we neglect our role as a mother, as a father in the house. Because one thing I grew up to understand is if you fail in the home front, you are failed in the ministry already. And I've watched a couple of films that Liz brought that to life. One of them is some of these Manzai ministry movie, Busy But Guilty, and some other ones. If you fail in the home front, you have failed in your ministry. No matter how much you think you have done for the Lord, that's not what he's asking you. The first assignment God has given us as women and men is, as a mother and father is, to build up a family. And we have to make sure that we handle it properly. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now moving on to chapter 4. You know, when we look at chapter 4, it's all about, you know, the Philistines fighting with the children of Israel, and they carried the Ark of Covenant. They were defeated. And, you know, after that defeat, the first time they went back that, oh, maybe because we do not do this, they went to carry the Ark of Covenant and take it with them. You know, they shouted and do everything and say, yes, now I will know that God is going to be with us. And the Philistines came again. The first time, I think it was 4,000. This time around, it was almost like 7,000. A lot that were killed. And in the process, during those war, those fights, that was when the two children of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas, that was when the two of them died. Mm-hmm. And when they died, somebody came back to give the news to the father. And the moment the father heard, initially, the Bible did not record that he was moved. But the moment he heard that the Ark of God was taken, the Bible recorded that he fell down on his neck. And because he's an old man and he's fat, the Bible said he died instantly. And, you know, towards the end, one of them, I think it was Phinehas' wife, she was pregnant at that particular time. And what happened? The moment she heard that her husband and the brother is dead, and even her father-in-law, and they've taken the Ark of God, even at her own point of death, because she too died. But before she died, she gave birth to a son, and she told the women that they should name the boy Ichabod, that is, the glory has departed. Believing that the glory has departed Israel. And that was what chapter 4 is all about, the war with the Philistines. But what I want to bring out from chapter 4 is, first of all, we know the Philistines is one of the descendants of the Noah, Ham. They are from Ham's side, you know, and they've been doing their own, you know. We know how they've always been causing trouble with children of Israel right from the beginning. But one thing that blew my mind in this chapter 4 is, one, the first one was chapter 3. And when the people were come in into the camp, you know, the first two verses, they fought with them. Those people conquered them. And they said they slew 4,000 men. So they came back. They said, the chapter, verse 3 says, and when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore has the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when he cometh among us, he may save us out of the hand of our enemies. You know, that was all because they felt that, oh, maybe because they don't have that with them. That was why, that why would God allow, you know, those people to conquer them, to, you know, defeat them the way they did. So as a result, they said, okay, what we are going to do is we are going to carry the Ark of Covenant with us when we are going, because we know that when the Ark of Covenant is with us, God will fight for us. because of what has happened in the past, you know, whenever the children of God, then when they have the ark of covenant with them, what happened? God always fight for them. But one thing that they forget is not about the ark of covenant itself, but there's something else that is making it work. They took the ark of covenant with them, quite all right. When Hophni and Phinehas were the ones that brought it as well, you know, in the first instance, the ark of covenant was not meant to leave the holy place. It was meant to be kept in a sacred place, in the tabernacle. It was not meant to be brought out. But because of their thinking, their myopic thinking, this act that they should bring it, that if it's with them, they will win the, you know, they will have victory. So they took it to them to the battle. But getting to the battle, what happened? They were defeated. This time around, they were beaten face down, even with the ark, and the ark of covenant was taken away from them. And this tells us that it's not about the symbol of God or anything that stands for God, but it's about your relationship with God. In the past, the children of Israel had a good relationship with God. Well, look at the book of Joshua. There's something that happened in the book of Joshua. When there was sin in the camp, ordinary eye was the one that captured Israel then. But the moment they eradicated sin out of their camp, they defeated Ai and every other cities that they go to. So basically, it's not about the symbol of God that we carry. You can carry Bible around. You can have mantle. You can have any handkerchief that they've anointed and put, you know, every anointing on. If you don't have a good relationship with God, it's not going to work for you. It may work for others, but will not work for you. Let's all remember what Deuteronomy 28:1 says, that if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord and obey every command that I will give unto you today, the Bible says that these blessings will follow you and overtake you. That means if I obey God, blessing is automatically going to follow me. So it's not about the fact that, oh, if I have this, something is going to work for me. And that was the belief of the children of Israel at this particular time, thinking when they have the ark with them. And you know, the moment they brought the ark into their midst and they shouted, the Philistines were afraid that, these people have that, they have power in their midst, that they've heard so much about their God and the power, you know, the moment they see the ark. But what happened? They defeated them. And that's tell you that if you don't have a relationship with God, no matter what you are carrying around that symbolizes God, it's not going to work for you. Your relationship with God that has to be constant, new and fresh every day. It's not a matter of, okay, I will serve him today, tomorrow I'll do whatever I like, and next tomorrow I'll do again, you know. It doesn't work like that. It has to be a daily relationship. And with that, even if you don't have anything to symbolize his presence, one thing is certain, because you are in constant relationship with him, his presence and power is constantly with you. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But that is if you have relationship with him and you are communing with him. And that is what I can see from this chapter 4, that they believe so much in that hack. But the power behind the ark, what the ark stands for, they don't believe in it. They have so much sin in their life. And even if they want the ark to follow them, it's not Hophni and Phinehas that are living a wayward life, that have done so much evil that God is angry with, and the people that are not asked to bring it again. No, it doesn't have to be. So we just need to check our lives, that am I really in good relationship with God? Am I living right? Because if you don't live right, if you don't have a good relationship with God, don't waste your time by saying, oh, I have anointed handkerchief with me. Yes, I have a Bible with me. Oh, somebody gave me anointing oil. Oh, somebody prayed on this. It's not going to work for you. It's not as if I'm cursing. But what I'm trying to say is, God believes more in somebody that trusts him and believes in him. And that's what we can see that happened in the life of Hannah. She cried out to God and God heard her. So God believes so much in the relationship we have with him than anything, any object that we may be carrying around. Our hands alone, what the Bible says is, if you are a child of God, you follow the way. That's what is written in the book of Mark. These signs you follow them, that whoever, whatever that you lay your hands on, they shall, you know, you lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. They not say you lay handkerchief or anything. That does not mean all these anointed handkerchief doesn't work. That's not what I'm saying. But before it works for you, you must believe in the person that has the power for you to work. Remember those people that wanted to be like Paul, those children of slavers, or what they call them in the New Testament, that wanted to perform miracle like Paul. What did the evil spirit say? Jesus will know, Paul will know, who are you? And that's the way it works. The power of the evil ones, the demons, they recognize the people that have the power of God. So let us live our life. Let us have a solid relationship with God. Let us stop running after, oh, I heard that this prophet, when he prays for you, things are going to happen. Oh, I heard that this pastor is good. Oh, I heard that this church. Let us stop running around. Let us just face and have a relationship with God. Because having a relationship with God is all that we need. That is all that we need. We don't need any other thing. As long as you have that one, then your case is sorted. You are settled. Because that's what the Bible says. Like I said the other time, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So it's just we listening and obeying God that really matters. It's not the object. And I think this is where the children of Israel missed it in this chapter 4. And that was why they were able to, the Philistines were able to capture them and even take the Ark of Covenant away from them. You can imagine. And what happened? To top it off, one of the women gave birth. That one now even made it worse. Calling her child Ichabod, the glory has departed. Because they believe so much in the object and not God himself. Because if she knew that God himself is still very much in their presence, if only they can turn to him, she won't say the glory has departed. So the child now has to be kind, you know, that name around, the glory has departed. What kind of a name? The glory has departed. So God have mercy on us. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to be very careful the kind of names that we give our children. I know a lot of people, they look at situation around before they name their children, but we have to be very, very careful because names matters a lot. Names matters a lot, and the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So when you look at it, in a nutshell, the children of Israel, they did not address the issue the way they should. They actually wrongly assumed that since God had given them victory in the past, he would do it again, even though they are strayed far from him. They are strayed far from him. And we are made that today, as in Bible times, spiritual victories come through a continually renewed relationship with God. Don't live off the past. Keep your relationship with God new and fresh. Some of us will live on past glories. Ah, God used to do this to me. Ah, what is he doing now? Have we left our first love? Or are we, is the fire on our altar still burning? Or has it gone down? If it's gone down, God is calling us tonight to go back and rekindle it. It's not about the object, but it's about him. Let us make him the center of the worship. Let us make him the center of everything. Because without him, we cannot be. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So, I don't know if anybody have anything to contribute to both chapter 3 and 4. Before we answer my question concerning Eli in chapter 3. So, any contribution?
Yeah. I just want to add that when God wants to use us, or to use you, age and position doesn't matter, because God chooses any vessel that he wants to use. So, I'm senior, I'm in this position, I'm priest, it doesn't matter. So that's what I
want
to
have. Thank you, ma'am. Any more contribution? Mm-hmm. Any?
No.
Jibala? No. Okay. So if there is no more contribution, now let us go to my own question that I said earlier. Remember I said, when Samuel, when he told, verse 18, let me read 3:18. And Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do whatever seems him good. Why would Eli say this? Or was even the statement, the right statement that he should have uttered at this time? Ifeoluwa.
Yes, I read the verse about what Eli said, but I'll be honest, I actually don't fully understand it. Like, the question was, is it right that I said it, or should they have said something else?
Yeah. The question is, was it right for him to have said that? And if not, what should he have said instead? Pastor, good evening, sir. Pastor Chidi.
Yeah.
I guess I'd have to say it's right.
God bless you, man. Sorry. I had it. I'm listening. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, sir. Yeah, thank you. You are continuing.
Yeah, that's all I can say about, like, could you please tell me the Bible passage again? Because, like, what I remember him saying was the father said that something about God or something.
Yeah, let me read it from the Living Bible. So Samuel told him what the Lord had said. It is the Lord's will. Eli replied, "Let him do whatever he thinks, whatever he thinks best."
I mean, it is good that I show indifference to God, I guess. Show indifference. So yeah, I go away said that. Yeah, that him saying it's God's will and then do whatever it does best is good. So show indifference, and that's exactly the kind of thing God wants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mommy wants to say something before.
Yeah, to me, it's not the right answer that Eli gave to God, that, oh, you are God, do what? Let's put ourselves in that position. If we had to try our children, one of our children, that, oh, or we pass a message through somebody to our child, and our child responded that, oh, let her do whatever she likes. You know, we feel offended. We won't like it.
Yep.
Like, that child did not respect us. He didn't, you know. So what Eli, the response that Eli gave was not good at all.
Amen. Thank you, ma. Hallelujah.
I just want to quickly respond before I say other things. I just want to quickly respond to that question. response given by Eli. Yeah, I appreciate the area everybody is looking into, but I want to look at it from a different angle entirely. Because, yeah, everybody kept blaming Eli. He actually deserved the blame. However, Eli might have been such a person, such a father, that at some point he got depressed by virtue of his children or unruly behavior. He might have been speaking to them. Bible did not record it, but we are just trying to look at it from, you know, a humanly perspective. He might have been speaking or calling these children, because, you know, it was recorded at some point. He called these children and he just said to them, that, why are you guys doing all these things? So he might have given up on them, if that word is the right thing. He might have given up that, oh, and all those things, don't kill me, it is children. And honestly speaking, I felt for him. It's like he was in a very bad situation, and he got himself into a situation that eventually overwhelmed him. But that being said, there is a Bible passage where I like that Bible passage always, and I kept referring to it, which kept on saying that there is a part whereby God kept on calling Ephraim. God kept on calling Ephraim. And Ephraim decided not to yield. So, and what did God do? God just said, leave Ephraim alone because he has yielded to the idol. So, I want to believe that perhaps, in fairness to Eli, Eli might have gotten to that point whereby he had been pushed to the wall by these children and he got fed up. And of course, it's always a bad situation to fall into the hand of the Most High, because when you fall into his hand, he is the one that overrules everything anyway. Whatever he says, whatever he do, nobody can question him. That's why he's unquestionable God. Because when you look at this thing now, you know, one can say the way God related to Ephraim, if human being had done that, this son, I'm calling you, you are not listening to me, okay, it's up to you. So what are we going to say? But you see, in all, if we summarize it, I would say both good and bad and the ugly. If you do not curb something right from inception, by the time that thing become matured, it will be completely out of control for you.
Amen.
I think that's where Samuel found himself. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, one more thing, something. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you said it earlier when you were narrating the thing to us. You know, you said that Eli supposed to intercede on behalf of his children.
Yeah.
That's what he's supposed to do. You know, the Yoruba says, he's supposed to intercede on behalf of the children. And you know, God in his sovereignty, he will listen and he might have been forgiven. But
yeah,
he just said, let him do his God.
Yeah. Sorry, Pastor Chidi, before I allow you to talk, I can see your hand up. Oh, 1 minute, sir. The verse Pastor was talking about was Uzziah 4:17. Ephraim is joined to idol, let him alone. Before Pastor Chidi talk, I want to read this chapter 3, verse 11 through to 14. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm going to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to do all of the dreadful things I warned Eli about. I have continually threatened him and his entire family with punishment because his sons are blaspheming God. And he does not stop them. So I have vowed that the sin of Eli and of his sons shall never be forgiven by sacrifices and offering. So this have not started, it's not just starting. This God that is talking to Samuel. It's not Samuel. So for God to be telling Samuel this, God knew about everything that has been happening. Praise the Lord. Pastor Chidi. Yes, Pastor Chidi, over to you, sir.
I think it makes sense we should not just take one stand, you know, in an assessment of this guy. There is this issue of age, you know. I think over time he's tired. He got tired, you know, of the whole thing. Like, if I may use Pastor's word, he was overwhelmed. He got tired, but I think it's also it shows a function of the kind of his relationship with God, you know. I think he was working for God. I don't think he was working with God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If he was working with God, he would have known the kind of how merciful, he would have been conscious of God's mercy. You know? I mean, he was all, you know, he can be lost in God's service without knowing God himself. Mm. You know, over time, that person what became a routine. He know you so well, you know, he can close his eyes and tell you what happens to the temple. Chalo become, you know, he is like a silo. He knows every ritual, but he doesn't know the God who owns the whole silo. That is, and compared it to David. David understood God. David knew God. It's a personal thing. What Samuel didn't have was God's the depth of God's mercy. You know, if we had that relationship with God, if it wasn't about ritual, you know, this is the issue of every time going to church. You know, you spend so much time working for God and you don't have time for the God you serve. You know, just like another thing I want to compare this to, you see, when Elijah ran away, claimed that, you know, that everybody else have, you know, it's only him that left. You know what happened in that case? Elijah, the fight has gone out of Elijah. Elijah has given up. Pushing him wouldn't work. He himself, he has given up. That is what happens. If Eli had as much as understood that God is a merciful God, you know, he would have asked. But at this point, he just gave up. It was too much for him. Let me die and go. You know, and then above all, like everybody said, how do we see discipline? It doesn't matter how close people are to us. We should never ever take a stand with them against God. We must be seen. And you see, open rebuke. There's nothing wrong with it. If Eli has, as well as even in the public glare, said, listen, I don't support what you are doing. Let people know that he doesn't support them. God, he would have been seen as defending God. But he allowed him so much. The children became so big in what they got so lost in evil. They don't even care. His voice, his word became relevant, you know. But the question is, what effort did he make to let people know that, listen, all these boys are doing, I don't support it. Open rebuke. He would rather take him into the house. This is why you're doing it. This is why you're doing it. It's not good, though. Nobody knows that he doesn't support what they're doing. May God help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Another thing I would add is that I think he rebuked the children. He called them. But what he's supposed to do is that when you call them and they didn't listen, take them out. Don't let them be priests anymore. Why can't you just suspend them? You are no more priests. You can't come here and spoil all things that I've been doing before. Priests.
I think that was where I actually wanted to come in, that yes, we know that Eli was overwhelmed, and you know, when we really look at it, the Bible did not make mention of their mother. So it must have been so hard on him doing the work of God, being the judge and the high priest, and at the same time looking after these children. But what I think, I may be wrong, but what I think probably would have done that could have made everything easy, because from the tone of the message of the Lord to Samuel, it shows that Eli did not have a conversation about those children with God. Okay? One thing I've realized is praying for a child goes a long way. If Eli has been praying for them and talking to them, but he has been making mention of them in prayers, honestly, I want to believe that God will not have looked at it the way God is, the message I sent to Samuel to Eli. Because the tone of that message shows that God has been on knees, telling Eli, warning him, what it's going to do if nothing is done concerning these children. And maybe it's not been pleading on their behalf to God and asking God that they are your children. You gave them to me. God, help me out. I don't have a wife to help me. So you're the only one that can help me. That, you know, maybe, and like we've all said, tell them, because of what you're doing, at this moment, you cannot be priest any longer. I'm going to take you out until you guys repented. You know, if they are not blaspheming the name of God, if they are not doing what they were doing in the church, I'm sure that God will not be angry that much against Eli. But because he still left them to still be the priest, despite everything that is hearing, I'm sure that was what really angered God. Because for God to say that, I've been warning, I've warned him about this, that means he has been talking about it. And it's gotten to a point where I felt that is it. I've given up enough rope. I've been merciful enough. I've given enough time. But you guys have run out of mercy. And I'm not looking back. And even at that point, I still believe that if Eli still cry out to God that I'm just overwhelmed here, I can't even do it any longer. I'm tired. I don't even know what to do. God will still have mercy. He's a merciful God. But like we've all said, when we are looking at a picture from afar, we can talk the way we are talking. But when we are actually in it, at times we are confused, don't know what to do. But that is just my own take on it, that maybe if you had cried out to the Lord concerning those children that, God, I've tried everything. I've used your word. I've tried this, but it's not working. Help me out. Maybe God will have done something about it. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Just a quick one, please. You know, this borders also on the issue of the conduct you and I, you know, as people who profess this name. You see, nothing disgraces God's name like the conduct, the back corner of those who are meant to grace his name. You know? I mean, it doesn't matter what people do. It doesn't matter, but it is what we do. When we draw that line between born again and unborn again, when our life does not, you know, differentiate, people cannot even see the difference. If you read that story, you find that it was so much so that God said that, in the Bible, that people are now abhorring that celebration because of these children.
Yeah.
I mean, their evil was all around. There was nothing they would not do. Why would Eli keep quiet? And let you go to that part where they were even sleeping with women in the they were taking meat that was not meant to be taken. Why don't you take a side and say, listen, I don't support what you are doing. If they come here, don't give them meat. If you see them, push them. I mean, that God would have been so happy.
Yeah.
But you see, everybody here was dealt with Eli, his children, his generation. And he should take blame for this.
Amen.
God wiping the children away and saving him. But he was, you know, it was him first.
Amen. Over to you, Pastor.
Yeah, I was going to add to that by saying that, honestly, when you look at the whole thing, it was a very serious damage that Eli children caused. Because they said the food that was meant for God, the sacrifice that was meant for God, they were taking it. As a matter of fact, they were more or less like making themselves like the God.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's been, and that's exactly what God frowned at. And from what we also read, we can see that the Bible made it clear the greatest sin anybody can commit in this world is to blaspheme against
the Holy Spirit.
And, you know, during that time, Holy Spirit was in the form of God the Father, basically. So, unfortunately, I still want to maintain the fact that the man Eli got overwhelmed. And I want to use this time to also plead with us. When some people are occupying ministerial role, it can be highly overwhelming. Sometimes ago, I had a report that one pastor, I'm not going to mention the denomination, one pastor killed himself
Yes.
because he got overwhelmed. while he was trying to focus attention on ministerial assignment, home front, he was failing, and everything all around him just kept on like it's crumbling. And at the end of the day, he just said, you know what? It's better he died, because he couldn't cope any longer. So when we say somebody is pastor, I know Daddy Adeboye used to say this, that pastor is also a human being like you.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor is somebody that you say, pastor is not God. Pastor is not sin. He has veins, he has arteries, he has the flesh and blood in him. And at the end of the day, what you eat is what pastor eats. The only thing is that he is a pastor. And for the same thing applies to people that are doing, you know, all these ministerial work. So may God help us. Let us also see how much we can support them. And not only that, we are supposed to be our brother's keeper in every circumstance, not just pastor alone, even the people around us. Because that fellow you are seeing that, you know, is looking happy outside, maybe going through serious pressure at home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is this man, is it Robin Williams or so? I can't remember.
Yeah, Robin Williams.
Yeah, Robin Williams, that died.
You know, look at the man. The man made, in fact, in all his, there is the one movie he made, he looked like a woman or so in that movie.
Doubtfire.
It means it's Doubtfire, yeah, exactly.
It's Doubtfire, yeah.
Doubtfire. So in that movie, was making everybody happy. And there are a couple of other movies like that, but eventually he had a lot of problems. Why they were making people to be happy outside? Inside, they were burning, and nobody cared about them. So let us try to show some kindness to people around us. And that being said, do not let us despise anybody around us. Because look at Samuel. You know, that was a contribution made by our teacher in the course of this discussion. You know, God must have weighed Samuel and saw that this person is indeed my vessel. And it might have been psyching up Eli that this person have already departed from him. And just like what Pastor Chidi said earlier on, you see, he got to a point. Elijah ran away. He said, please kill me. And what is all this nonsense? He wanted to commit suicide. And God responded to him that, look, my friend, if you want to die, you will just die. I can kill you. But let me tell you, there are still 7,000 more prophets that have not eaten the food of Baal. So don't think you are the only one. So more or less like saying that it can get to a point where one can speak negatively. I mean, you can imagine. Elijah, how could he have said, God, kill me? Somebody that has done great and mighty wonders for God. And now just said, because somebody threatened him, that, look, if the God of this person that you are killed, you will not see tomorrow, and the guy disappeared from the team of it. So it can be highly overwhelming. Pressure is everywhere for everybody. But I pray the Lord Almighty himself will give on and will keep on encouraging us in Jesus' mighty name. So before we wrap up, I think Pastor Chidi want to say something.
No. Just a quick one. Please, just a quick one. You know, Pastor, you mentioned about Elijah.
Yes.
You know the funny thing about that thing? If Jezebel actually had the power to kill Elijah, he wouldn't even let him know. Now, that's in the psychology. If indeed she had the power, he would have killed her. Now, like, you know, if you kill her, but now the psychology. It's why I don't know why he bought a 4x4 for his leg. It's embarrassing, to be honest with you.
Mommy, I want to say something. Mommy.
Yeah, we could see that the message given to Samuel by God to Eli, focus on Eli, not on Phinehas and Nophias or whatever they. So this tells us that we should not allow our desire to do the work of God deprive us from taking care of our own family.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We should, in fact, that is where, in fact, there are 2 points I was going to mention. The first one is we should not let any other thing disturb us from looking after our family, our children, our spouse, because that is our number one priority. That's our number one ministry. Whether you like it or not, you see, the Bible said, the sin of the father shall be inquired from the son, from first to the fourth generation. Why?
Yep.
Father has failed, but children are the one that will suffer. So let everybody rub mine and work together. And as a father, you must train up your children in the right way they have to go. And the second point I was going to say is, you see, as young as Samuel was, he started hearing from God.
Mm-hmm.
You see, as old as we are now, how many of us are indeed hearing from God? Clearly, because he heard that word and he said, "Sir, yes, Lord. Sir," and then he went to meet his spiritual father. "That daddy, are you calling me?" He said, "No, I'm not calling you. Somebody else is calling you, and that person is the one." So this is a power that we should crave to hear, that we want to hear the voice of God clearly. And you know one thing that I found out in this? It could be that as at that time, because Samuel was young, his head was not cluttered with so many information, with so many knowledge, with so many things that many of us are thinking about nowadays. Before, like me now, if you look at the way I am here, you will have mercy on me. You will be saying, how are you guys coping? And you see, at the end of the day too, you have so many things around in front of you that is disturbing your mind. How will you hear from God directly? Let us put everything aside and even let us have a time of relaxation whereby we wait and let God speak to us. May God help us.
Amen. Before you round up, sir, Mommy, I for once say something. Sorry.
Yes, what I want to add is that, please, as a church, we should try as much as possible and be praying for our leaders and pray for their children as well. Because for them, you know, they pray for you, they do this for you. And who is looking after their children? It's only God. So as a church as well, we need to be helping them by praying for them, praying for their family as well. So that's what I want to
do. Very, very true. Thank you very much. And I think on that note, we will be wrapping up. Pastor Chidi, you want to say something? I see your hand
up. No, it has been like that since.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So in view of that, I don't know if any of our younger ones want to add something. Because this is more or less like Samuel generation. You should be hearing directly from God. Why are you not hearing? Can you tell us? You see, everyone of
them. They've talked already, so they don't want to say anything again.
Okay, God bless you. Let us pray. Let us pray. And our prayer, I want us to go back to God this evening and let us tell him, and say, "Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for everything you've done for us. We want to thank you for your mercy. We want to thank you, O Lord God, for all your compassion." And let us tell God and say, "Father, in every area that I am failing, as your son, as your daughter, as your servant, in home, everywhere, even in your presence, please, Lord, do not condemn me. Do not replace me. Do not cast me away. Help me, O Lord, to yield to all your correction. Father, help me to yield to all your correction. Help me, O Lord, not to fail. Help me not to derail." And let us tell God and say, "Father, help me to hear from you clearly. Help me to hear from you clearly. Help me to hear from you clearly. In the name of Jesus." Let us pray for every member of our household. Now, Father, any member of my family, any member of your children in our churches, Lord, please touch them. Impact them with your spirit. Impact them with your spirit. Impact them with your power. Impact them, O Lord, with your fresh anointing. Lord, we are praying this evening, O Lord, for all our leaders, from the general overseer to all the leaders under him, that Lord Almighty, we pray that there are a lot of bad things people are saying about Christianity. Lord, all these are leaders, they will not fail. They will not fail. They will not fall. In your kingdom, O Lord, you shall find them upright in the name of Jesus. If there is any one of them that want to bring bad name into your kingdom, Father, please touch their heart. Let them follow your path. Let them do your will. Let them obey you wholeheartedly in the name of Jesus. And I want us to pray for ourselves individually. Let us pray for ourselves. Because we are running a race. And just tell him, say, Father, on this journey, O Lord, do not let me burn out. Strengthen me, O Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Lord, we just want to thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
All the prayer that we pray tonight, we soak them in your blood. Father, all your children that are not able to join us tonight, we commit them into your hand, O Lord. Please, Lord, every one of them, do not let any one of them fail in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Kingdom, O Lord, let us please you.
Amen.
Lord, people that disobeyed you, they were condemned. Father, please, do not let us disobey you, O Lord. Let us do your will. Let us follow your path. Lord, we thank you. The remaining part of today is in your hand. Manifest your power.
Amen.
Patient of this. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.